I'm so excited that we can be together again.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. My man looked at his watch. It's 6 o'clock here, but it is 5 o'clock to our listeners in Houston. Luckily for you, Old Dirty and the Electric Dilf.
The Big Dilf.
Have the latest for you. Also, Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, a.k.a. Moneybags. Someone did tweet or text in earlier, what's the bets for tonight, Tyler? What's the bets for tonight? I wonder if he's going to stay away from Kikuchi tonight. If he's going to stay away from it tonight, he's probably got the over on strikeouts.
Yeah, stay away from that one.
Smart to stay away from that.
6.5 seemed a bit rich.
Although he has strikeout stuff, you might want to stay away from that. But I'm sure he's made his bets. But we are here live at Jersey's here in Canton, Ohio. And I'm telling you, inside, outside of the bar, it is a Texans takeover. Traveling Texans exactly did that. They traveled and they have just blown this place up. And it is clearly a Texans bar right now. The cheerleaders are out here. We had former Texans legend Vontaze Leach and Travis Johnson was out here, Dante Robinson was out here. As I said, cheerleaders Toro has been out here. Cal and Hannah McNair have paid for everybody's first drink here, so it is a real takeover here at Jersey. So if you are listening, and you are listening on the Odyssey app or whatever, come on down. There is still space and room. Now, if you're trying to get on in here outside, I don't know if there's any space out there, but there is space and room for you to enjoy yourself out here. But we are here to celebrate Andre Johnson. Andre Johnson is going into the Hall of Fame, the first player ever in the history of the franchise, and well deserved to go into the Hall of Fame. And this whole weekend is why, because of him, is why we are here and why everyone is celebrating. And he is not only a great player. Must you heard, if you missed it earlier, Travis Johnson joined us around 3:15, talked about him as a teammate. He also spoke today to those as they interviewed all the Hall of Famers. This is what he had to say as he's getting inducted tomorrow.
The Jacksonville game. This is the most yards I ever had in my career, most catches I ever had in the game. And then in the game off the way we did, I closed the game out with a 48-yard touchdown. So that was probably like my favorite game I played in. But playing in front of the fans was – Houston is a football city. So just playing in front of those fans, man, there's a lot of love and passion behind the Houston Texans. So it was always great to play in front of them.
There he is, and the passion – of the fan base, and we're seeing it again right now as this team is back in at least sitting what it seems like at the top of the AFC and back as a relevant franchise again right now.
Come on,
but Clint, Andre Johnson, as we sit there, man, he is one of the best to ever do it, and it's impressive as hell. And John McClain, who's been his presenter for years, really talked about all the numbers and all of his accomplishments and who it puts him with. This is well deserved, and this weekend culminating with tomorrow should be a lot of fun with Andre Johnson.
Yeah, absolutely. That game he was talking about was week 11 in 2012 against Jacksonville, where he took the screen to the house to win it all in overtime. He had 14 catches, 273 yards, and a touchdown in that game. Many folks remember it was obviously his favorite. His favorite game of his career, favorite, I guess most hyped game, and the way that they finished that game was big time, man. So, yeah, it's I've said it before. Obviously, we all know how great Andre Johnson was. And to me, I think the coolest part of it all, or the most impressive part of it all, is the kind of dude that he is. Look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I kick it with Andre Johnson all the time, but I've been around Houston long enough to kind of see and experience and hear the kind of person that he is. So it's one thing to see a great player go in. It's another thing to just see just a great dude that was a great teammate. That's a great person. Just get honored in the highest football way possible. So, yeah, this is it's fun to be here.
No, it is. You think he surprises us tomorrow with his speech? You think he?
No.
Because in my mind, I feel like, because you hear him right there, my mind, I feel like, man, he's going to be short, sweet, to the point. That's what it feel like. You think it, but he's going on last. Like, you know, Ray Lewis went on last. You know, I mean, like I said, when I knew with Ray, when they gave Ray that preacher's mic where it wrapped around, they just gave him the mic and said, go ahead, yeah. Ray. Ray gave you about 45 minutes. In my mind, I feel like Andre going to be up there about 5 minutes and just quietly.
I don't know why that Tiger would change his stripes at this point in time. I think that's part of what is so cool about him and so refreshing about the way that he goes about business, to be honest with you. I think the delivery is that cool, calm, collected delivery. He's not a showman, so I wouldn't expect it to be anything extravagant. The coolest part of it is whatever he says, however long he speaks, we're all going to be able to relate to it. It's going to be from his heart. It's genuine, sincere. It's not going to be to get clicks. It's not going to be to be cool. It's not going to be to get a job somewhere. It's going to be from the bottom of the heart, and you're going. I would imagine his voice is going to tremble many a time. So it's something that we can all relate to, and I think we'll all be proud of.
In the 4 years we've been working together, 4-plus years we've been working together, God, dog, man. It's been tough, man. A long 4 years. But in the 4 years we've been working together.
Damn, the company was that hard on you? I've been holding this thing together.
We've heard and talked to a lot of people about Andre. And the thing that always is said about him, and Cal said this when we talked to him earlier this week, whenever, as they say, Dre speaks, everybody listens. And I feel like that's what we'll hear tomorrow. It may not be long. It may not be Ray Lewis-like. It may be short. But what he says, I think everybody will
powerful.
Be listening. It'll be powerful. That's what we've heard about him. So Andre Johnson, the reason we're here, is going to be the first member of football player of the Houston Texans player to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, as we switch over to the Astros, a couple of news notes before we get to tonight's game. I'll go through first decent news here. Justin Verlander will throw a live batting practice on Sunday. If that goes well, Verlander will then go on a minor league rehab assignment. Joe Espada said Verlander will need more than one minor league rehab start. So he is going to throw again on Sunday, which we know he threw earlier this week, and that went well. And actually, we were surprised. He actually threw a live BP earlier this week when they didn't think that was going to be the case. So they're moving on positive direction with Justin Verlander. I wonder how many starts he would need in the minors. I know it's obviously more than one. Is that two? Is that three? I wonder how many.
I don't know. I have no idea. But Justin will decide that, not Joe. I mean, the truth of the matter is, JV will decide how many damn starts he needs in Sugarland before Joe
ideal.
Does. And I'm telling you.
You think Justin went over and said, hey, man, when the hell did we decide this? When did we decide that I –
Did y'all run this by me?
What if I just need one?
Oh, man, what a neck.
Yeah. Yeah, what a neck. This neck is – yeah. So at least we're getting some level of timetable. Hopefully that live batting practice goes well on Sunday. This is the tougher news with the Astros, and it is with Luis Garcia. Luis Garcia has elbow soreness, according to Joe Espada. Espada said that Garcia was scheduled to have a rehab assignment, just like Verlander will have on Sunday, but that will not happen due to his elbow. That's all right, Tyler. Due to his elbow soreness, that will not happen. And to me, Clint, that is high level to me of concern in terms of thinking that he would join. Because I know what they're saying. He said that, right? I believe Tyler was said that there was no shutdown here, is what Espada said.
Right. That's what they're saying, yeah.
I got a hard time believing that my man has elbow soreness and they're not going to shut him down for a period of time. A man coming off of Tommy John surgery has elbow soreness. And remember, didn't they stopped him from throwing for a period of time not too long ago because he had some issues.
Hey.
I got a hard time believing they're not going to at least stop him from going for a while.
Thank the good Lord for that new Kikuchi in Houston.
Well, you ain't lying.
Telling you, that's tonight, baby. It's going to be the savior, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they knew something we didn't know that they needed. They needed to be even more desperate than maybe some of us thought they would because of Garcia.
Hey, let Kikuchi be right.
All right, can we
and then let Verlander get healthy?
Let's talk
hello,
about
this is going to be money, baby.
We're going to get to Kikuchi here in just a
second.
Oh,
I didn't know
Garcia here.
Oh, okay. Well,
we'll see because I feel like there are clearly plans. Hill, he said it. Once we get Garcia and we get Verlander back, we'll really be strong in our pitching staff. And you've said it, Clint. You said they need more than one person in that rotation. And I don't know. We'll see what happens with Luis Garcia, but I can't imagine that he's not shut down for a certain amount of time. I just can't imagine that. So that's the latest there. Good news with Verlander. He will throw Sunday. Could be in line to then make rehab starts. And they said he's going to need more than one. And then tough news with Luis Garcia, elbow soreness, and his next rehab, bullpen session will be skipped.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, tonight the Astros kick off a weekend series against the Rays. The lineup tonight, Altuve, Bregman, Alvarez is in left field with Diaz as the DH. Pena is at short, Singleton is at first, and then Jake Myers is in center with Caratini catching tonight. And the guy who hit the game-winning home run to avoid that sweep against the Pirates, Mauricio Dubon is going to be in right field that ninth. And they are the lineup for Yusei Kikuchi in his first start tonight. Man, we're going to say that, and you're going to not giggle. I promise. I promise. Right? You could just straight face. You'll be all right. You'll say that. But they need a big start for him. All right? We've had a lot of fun with the name. Everybody has. Every single person on this station.
I need to have some more.
No one has had more fun with it than Clint.
I know, and I need to pitch well tonight so that we can.
Yes. Well, let's be frank. It doesn't matter if he pitches well or not. You still will find a way to have
fun. Well, there's only so much you can do with bad Kikuchi. You know what I mean?
Right now.
If he's bad, at some point you got to shut it off. You got to do away with it. But if it's good, then you just keep bringing it back to the table different ways.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it.
I mean, it's a big night.
But again, Dana Brown, I wonder Dana Brown better be he may be in the dugout for this one tonight. Dana Brown, this is big because Dana Brown, you made this move, and I'm telling you, I do not think overall from Astros fans this move was made with excitement. I think most people thought you gave up too much. Most people thought that. That this wasn't the move to make. Hell, there are some people, I think you said this a little bit, I don't think you agree with it, but some people said, hell, maybe you should have just stayed with what you had, you know, if you're going to do that.
I mean, that's why the Kikuchi move doesn't really get me too worked up here. I mean, at the end of the day, now with this Luis Garcia mess, with him having a setback, that would make me awfully nervous if they wouldn't have made a move.
If they didn't get Kikuchi.
But again, if I would have been privy to the information about all the different injuries and the potential of these guys coming back and all that jive, then I would have been able to obviously lean into this. But assuming those reports on all those injuries are somewhat positive, I wouldn't feel bad. I wouldn't be concerned about rolling the dice with all these injuries. But nonetheless, here we sit with Luis Garcia having a setback and having to depend on a new guy. And to your point, yeah, I mean, Dana Brown and the Astros, they cut bait with Jose Abreu, one of Bagwell's guys. They cut bait with Rafael Montero, one of Bagwell's, or one of the Astros guys. And now it's all about Dana Brown keeping this World Series window open. So yeah, hell yeah! This move here needs to work out for Dana Brown.
And for me tonight, listen, he has struggled, and I'll say it again: his last three starts, he has thrown 14 and a third innings, and he has given up 16 earned runs in that time period. His ERA is over 8 in his last 8 starts.
Well, this is not good.
He has struggled. And I'm not trying to do that with any tone, Clint. I'm just giving the actual facts of the situation.
That's a good job, man.
To me, the expectations, one, you cannot blow up tonight.
Nope.
This cannot be like two starts ago, I believe he went three or four innings and gave up seven earned. Like his last start, he gave up five earned. This cannot be one of those starts you blow up. To me, if he gets a quality start, man, you're rolling and rolling. Dana Brown is looking good. And I think people feel a lot differently, and maybe you don't hear the name Joey Loperfido anymore and hear that other stuff. But, you know, if it's a struggle, then you might have problems. To me, I'm looking, hey, five innings and keeping them in the game. Five innings, three runs, not quite a quality start. That would be solid. Just be at least solid to me is where
the Astros bar is a quality start. I need 6-3. That's where I'm at. And hopefully, at the end of the day, this needs to be a move that helps the Astros in some degree get to the playoffs and make a run in the playoffs. I'll tell you another thing I like about the lineup, real quick. The lineup, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I don't know exactly how much. I'm just, as I watch every night, and we cover these lineups every night. It seems like Yainer Diaz and Caratini are more so splitting the catching instead of Caratini being a legit backup catcher. And I like that because Caratini's one of the better bats in the dugout. And so he's one of the top nine bats in the dugout at this point in time. Now, we'll see what happens with the larger sample size. But right now, I think him in this lineup catching at Diaz at DH accomplishes two things. Get your best lineup out there, as well as it takes some of the stress off of Yainer Diaz's legs in terms of getting the second half of the season and him catching as many games as he's caught. So I like that little move right there by JoJo.
When did we get that? Tyler, have you heard that before?
I got off six.
Yeah, that ain't going to work.
No. I hadn't heard JoJo. It's Captain Joe. That's clearly – That's clearly
I don't like
it.
That one either.
Tyler, my man said JoJo.
JoJo.
There was not any negativity.
You need a drink with some whipped cream there, Clint?
He needs a drink.
No, I'm all set, man. Don't need any whipped cream, bub.
Didn't like that raspberry vinaigrette, did you?
That's all right. Thick-ass raspberry vinaigrette, I'll tell you that. It's thick, boy. A lot of things I appreciate being thick, but it ain't my raspberry vinaigrette.
That vinaigrette's got some girth to it, huh?
Hey, look, it's hanging on the edge of this little cup right here.
That's not the thick in the hips you're looking for, huh?
I need my raspberry vinaigrette to be thin. I need it thin and a little bit transparent.
You want that Giselle kind of raspberry. Yeah. You don't want that Megan Thee Stallion raspberry.
Give me some of that pasty white girl. give me some of that Tyler.
Yeah, you need St. Patrick's Day instead of Essence Fest.
St. Patty's Day. two different parades, huh? Two different festivals.
Yeah, that's a different angle. You go get some nights out. You got a chance to win. It's just different wins.
Yes, it's different wins.
All right, coming up, news about Kyle Tucker. We'll give you the latest there. And one of the things that we took away from last night's game was the aggressiveness of D'Amico Ryans on who played. And who didn't? We'll discuss that coming up next.
We're on the road to Canton. Getting you set for Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame induction. Live from Jersey Sports Grill, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, this has been one of the most fun times we've had doing shows here in our four-year period. Everybody down here. Traveling, I mean, this is as big, if not, I'll be honest with you, this is bigger than some of our football Fridays in terms of crowd.
It feels huge.
That's been here, which make sure you come on out with us, all right? Make sure you come on out, football Fridays during the season. We're out everywhere all over the city. We'll be able to allow you to be able to see exactly where we're going to be every week leading up to it. It'll be somewhere for you to see on the website or social. So come hang out with us because this atmosphere right now has been crazy. The Traveling Texans have showed out and taken over this bar all day, and it's been a lot of fun. Now that we got that out of the way, I just wanted to pass this note to you about Kyle Tucker. According to Brian McTaggart, Kyle Tucker, Astros outfielder Kyle Tucker, is not close. Not close, he said, to a minor league rehab assignment. Not close. I just saw the air roll out of my man's face.
He exhaled, huh?
Listen, this is tomorrow will be 2 months. 2 full months. Nobody in their right mind when he fouled that ball off his shin thought, my man going to be gone for about 2-3 months. But it looks like that's where it's shaping up. And when you hear them say he's not anywhere close to making a rehab assignment, I mean that's now the timetable you can't even guess for. Like there is no way that I didn't think he'd be back by now. No way. And it is it's something they gotta monitor, because it seemed like they have any idea on what it is. And it's concerning to me, Clint, because they're not really saying exactly, but you can clearly see what they have said is it's not healing with the progress they thought it would. Clearly, for some reason, this thing is just not getting better. Like, at least better to the space that they would want it to be getting better. And, you know, that is concerning. 2 months down, how much longer will it take? Is this just a deal of rest? Like, it is really interesting to see what's going on.
We're getting to a spot where we need to have a conversation and a real conversation about, man, is this team going to be capable of making the run that we all think they can without this bat being in the middle of it?
Yeah.
I know they put up runs without him. Hell, they were one of the highest scoring offenses, if not the highest scoring offense in baseball, I think, in the month of June and part of July. But anyway, Tucker and Justin Verlander being back are a huge part, obviously, of making that run. So I've never seen anything like this with Tucker. And if you're the reality of it is they either lied through their teeth to us and Tucker's just easing through this rehab, or Kyle Tucker himself has to be concerned big time. If you're Kyle Tucker and you're still limping around that damn leg 2 months into this thing, I mean, you got to be concerned about it, right? I mean, you're hurt. I mean, this
girl,
is a contract.
No, yeah, you got to be concerned. Like, man, how come I can't run right now?
Yeah.
How come I can't start moving right now? Like, yeah, you have to be majorly concerned. And then when you're looking at that, if we're sitting here 2 months, if we're gonna be sitting here for 2 months, Larry, man, go on, man, quit drinking all that damn yak. Like he drinking yak and iced tea. I ain't never seen that combination before. But no, I mean, you got to be looking at a situation, Clint, where you're saying to yourself, like, he's got to be asking, am I going to be right? Like, it almost feels like even if he does come back, he's going to come back and maybe not be 100%. Like, am I going to be right when it gets back here? And that's why I said this earlier. Like, we're going to at the very least having a conversation is, are they going to see the Kyle Tucker who was the MVP candidate? Is he going to be able to be that guy? And there's a thought for them to get to the ALCS again. They may need that from him. And
well, we didn't get much from him last year. We made the ALCS, so maybe I'm overthinking it.
You're right. Pitching was a little different.
But yeah, I mean, look, that guy's got to be. I mean, he's got to be back in this thing sooner rather than later. Yeah. I know this. That damn $20 bill you got out to be in my pocket.
Yeah.
ASAP.
Yeah, that was a tough. I was really trying to believe on that, man.
I mean, you tried.
I tried, man.
I hate that you lost a little more money.
It doesn't help the fact that you don't gamble. Gamble, not, and I'm not gambling tonight either. This casino you're trying to take. Hey, how surprised were you in terms of last night that preseason game with the Texans? How surprised were you that really only Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green were not only the starters, but really it feels like almost some of the only guys that are going to get major action that played yesterday. I found that really interesting how many guys didn't play in yesterday's game.
Yeah, they got aggressive with it. There's no doubt about it. I'm not surprised at just the sheer number, but the thought that Damian Pierce and Jalen Petrie those two guys didn't. The plan wasn't to get them some run. I mean, you can argue that Juice Scruggs playing center, having not played much center. You can argue that Jalen Petrie, having not played a ton of nickel at this level, he did in college. you can argue that it's one and the same.
That is interesting. What came behind?
What went into each decision?
Like, Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green have to play, and I agree that they should have, but like Kamari Lassiter doesn't, or as you said, Petrie doesn't, or even those frontline guys.
Like, the defense, I mean, line,
yeah,
Tim,
that
D line,
yeah. Settle didn't play. I mean, what, Settle, Mario Edwards, Foley didn't play. At least at least with them, those guys are veterans, and they're playing positions they played for long periods of time. But
yeah,
that other part, like that was, well, that, yeah, was.
I'm not the true veterans that have played a lot of football at said position. That doesn't shock me, given that it's the fourth preseason game. It's the names, that the handful of names that we didn't see that really surprised me.
Yeah, what'd you say? Eight defensive backs didn't play in the game.
From what I saw, eight defensive backs didn't play. You had four corners, two nickel defenders. I mean, Des King didn't play.
Yeah, that, yeah. Des King, Robert Woods, they didn't. Yeah, those were.
So yeah, I thought we'd see some of those guys just for the sake of numbers to get through four quarters of football. I thought we would see some of those guys early on. So the fact that we didn't, it was a good thing. I think that the game was called, you know, with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, yeah, or whatever it was.
Yeah. But I will say, even though I was surprised with that, I really, really loved what I saw. And I use the word love. I really love what I saw from Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green. I think for me, if they were going to play, and I felt this way about Lassiter and Petrie, but if they were going to play, and for what this, and this is graded upon trying to get to an AFC championship and a Super Bowl, Kenyon Green and Juice Scruggs should dominate their matchups against the twos and the threes of the Chicago Bears. That would be my expectation. And it, to me, I saw them kicking some ass. And that was good to see. As I said, there was it looked like either a trap play or something in which they ran right up the gut. And they moved people. It was coming right towards us. I could see it. They moved people, and they got an ass. And that's what they needed to do against them. Now, maybe they don't do that against Jeffrey Simmons. And maybe against Buckner it's a little bit. But they should – like, I would have concern if they couldn't – they wasn't out there dominating the twos and the threes of the Bears. And they did that. So that was good to see them to play – and them to play the way they did.
I think in terms of the offensive line, I think the most impressive part of the night was how clean the pocket was for Davis Mills. You know, I know it got a little bit hairy when Case got in there a couple of times, but boy, the how clean the pocket was. Davis, with the exception of the one which was either somebody lost immediately or was a blown protection, when Davis sidestepped that defensive end and made a nice throw down the field to Skoranek. Other than that, I mean, that pocket was clean, man. I'm talking 3-4 yards of separation at all times, room to move. And the big difference, I'm telling you, as a shorter quarterback, man, when a 6'5", 6'6", gets right in your face, you just simply can't see over it. When that guy's 4 yards from you, you can see over the top of his head. Obviously, you can see around him. You can do some things. That pocket was cleaner than all get out last night. And in that game, that's all you could ask for.
Yeah. Good performance from those guys, and now they can build on that in Pittsburgh.
That's
and
right.
Now they'll be playing with the rest of the line, we would think. All right, coming up, we'll take a peek from Andre Johnson's own words on him beating the hell out of Courtland Finnegan.
I ain't heard this yet, Ron.
We'll hear from his own words. And if you missed it, Travis Johnson was in here earlier, and he said he believes it is still on site with Courtland Finnegan for Andre Johnson. And then he also gave us the nugget that it is on site for him too, if he ever sees Courtland Finnegan. So Courtland, just I don't know if you're a listener. If you are, thank you for joining us. But you might want to watch that out. As Travis Johnson,
Mark Houston off your list, cuz.
Yeah, cuz Trap takes doo-doos and puts his foot in
bathtubs.
And bathtubs to get enough space. So I mean that's
and
a
takes
crazy
pictures.
That's a crazy. Yeah, it takes pictures. That's a crazy. And then shows dudes real fast. Leach, man, you ain't take no picture of that. But that's coming up next, as well as maybe we hear from Larry at Stanford. He got on good enough shoes, so I let him on. That's coming up next as we continue live on the road here at Jersey's on the Drive.
We're on the road to Canton. Getting you set for Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame induction. Live from Jersey Sports Grill, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we are here live at Jersey's. And it has been, as we said earlier, a great time as people are celebrating Andre Johnson, who is going in to the Hall of Fame. Going in tomorrow, Andre Johnson, who will be the first Texans player to go into the Hall of Fame. And there are a lot of moments and a lot of memories. And you, if you missed in the 4 o'clock hour, Clint went through several of them. Some of his great plays, some of his great touchdowns, some of his great moments. But Tyler, I know you've watched his whole career. Clint, you have. Many people here. If you think, is the Courtland Finnegan fight, is that the number one thing that Andre Johnson is known for? Hall of Famer?
The individual moment? Yeah.
Gotta be, yeah.
I mean, the only thing that would trump that would be like had there been a Super Bowl, you know, catch or something like that. I would think,
like, so, or like the Jacksonville game he talked about, which was not. But yeah, the number one thing, boy, you think about Andre Johnson. Yeah, that time he beat the hell out of that. Like, I don't think some people don't even know who he is. That time he beat the hell out of that dude. That's what it is. And he, I mean, and he talks about it. He answers the questions. He sat down. What's his name? Chandler
Johnson.
Chandler Johnson. He sat down with him, and he gave his own thoughts and words about that moment that he is most remembered for. Here is Andre Johnson talking about his moment with Courtland Finnegan.
What's something that people don't know about what happened leading up to one of the most iconic moments, not just in your career, but we're talking about in the history of the game?
People think that's just something that just happened out of the blue. That had been going on for probably about like 3 or 4 years. He had been asking for it, though, because even his teammates knew. You know, his teammate even admitted in that, you know, that he karate chopped me under the pile, you know, tried to hit me in my throat one time. So it was a little stuff he did. He did it to, it wasn't just me. It was other guys that he played against that he did stuff too. So I just wasn't a person who tolerated it.
Most people know you as being kind of a chill guy. When you get back to the locker room with your teammates, and you won the game, what was it? Do you remember that conversation or what your guys were saying to you at the time?
Nobody really said much about it because they knew he was an asshole. So that's the crazy thing. Like, after the game, nobody really even, I mean, they knew somebody was going to do it to him sooner or later. So nobody really cared. The funniest thing was, me and Vontae Leach, we went to the Rockets game that night.
Same night.
And I walked in and gave me a standing ovation.
Fans getting into this one, Bill. Well, they are, because the big board just put up Andre Johnson.
It went nuts when they put his picture up. Not only did the Texans win today, great win, but Andre even won the battle and the war.
That was the funny thing. So I'll probably say they enjoyed it more than anything. But as far as the teammates, like, it was what it was.
So I was told that, I had heard that other receivers paid your fine. Is there any truth to that? That this was a league-wide thing and others donated to?
I don't know how that fine got paid. That's all I'll say.
Andre, I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm kind of surprised that he would just go in and go into depth with that situation, especially how long ago it was. But like, he don't never seem to have no problem talking about that thing.
Hey, good job, Chancellor Johnson. I mean, that's big time right there. I'm sure that he had talked about it before, but in depth like that of why, because there was a bunch of dirty plays where he was punching him under the pile, karate chopping him under the pile, hitting him in the throat under the pile. And the whole league knew about how dirty he was, and they knew somebody was going to do it at some point in time, and Dre just wasn't the guy to put up with it.
He said, I wouldn't tolerate
that. That's classic, man. About pulling back the curtain now. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it was something else. Come on, man. Look at him. Look at him.
That was like, what's the pup's name? What's the pup's name?
Bear.
That's like when you tell Bear, sit. And then you got to throw that bone over. Don't go nowhere, Bear. And he goes, get it. And Bear takes off.
I got to give it to you. Y'all showing out here, Larry. Y'all came in and took over this place. Y'all showing out for Andre. And if it's anything like it's out here today,
yeah.
I mean, hell, they got blowhorns. They got if it's anything like it's out here today, this is going to be this is going to be a crazy weekend tomorrow as he goes into the hall. Larry and Stafford here joins us, man. What's this weekend been like so far as Andre goes in the hall?
So we've been waiting on this a long time, man, and to see all these people out here with smiles on their faces, everybody feeling good about what we witnessing and experiencing up here in Canton, you can't ask for nothing better, man. I'm going to tell you something, man. Your boy been going hard nonstop since when? And I tell you that everybody out here ain't doing nothing but showing love. And the thing about it, man, is that Texas fans have been wanting this for a long time. Because we saw the kind of work Dre did throughout the time he was a Houston Texans. And we understand how he went about his business, man, and just supporting the city, playing football at a high level. And so to come out and support him, man, and see you boys out here doing your thing, and I got this crown and this cup, I can't ask for nothing no better. And, you know, I've been listening to y'all all day. Y'all see the people in here, man. Everybody feeling good. That's what it's about. Because when you got a squad that you could believe in, and that's really getting ready to set you up to go on a magical run, this is where it all starts, the beginning. That preseason game last night, the rain and everything else still doesn't spoil the fact that our boys was in this Hall of Fame game, and now the season is about to start. Well, I'm going to tell you is this, what y'all been talking about, that Xavier Hutchinson, hey, man, whatever they allowed this young man to do, I'm telling you, between him and Metchie, it's going to be a dogfight in that locker room in the wide receiver room because that dude was catching stuff, man, and making routes runs and all this other stuff look easy. And I like the fact that nobody – you mentioned this show, Clint, you mentioned it.
Ron.
That Kenyon Green, come on, dog. Everybody pulling for this dude because we understand if him and Juice play the game at a high level with Tunsil and your boy Titus Howard on the end – CJ going to sleep like a baby, and he going to kill some folks, man. So that's what it's about for me and the H, man. I'm trying to win prizes out there.
Well,
I'm
get on out there. Larry and Stan for clapping
I'm
up.
I'm trying
there.
To drink as heavy as there. I can, man. I appreciate it so in our hall.
Get out there. Good with you surprises. No, listen, man, it's hell. He said dogfight. I don't think it's a dogfight right now. It ain't no dogfight because of play. I tell you that much. Not between those two, if it's that. Speaking of something I didn't think was a dogfight either, and I'm not saying it is, but another person that really stood out yesterday's game was Cam Akers. And Cam Akers got into the end zone. He was able to run the ball, and he was able to catch the ball in the backfield. Listen, I didn't think, and I still do. I don't think that Damian Pierce has to worry anything about Cam Akers. But yesterday's performance, Cam Akers brings an element that I'm not sure that Damian Pierce brings. And if it's an element of we want to give Joe Mixon, you know, snaps off on third down or have a third down back that is, you know, was kind of a scat back, kind of more like Motor was last year for the Texans. Cam Akers probably fits that role a little bit better. And I didn't really take him serious until yesterday. You're saying, "Uh-oh, he can come in. He can run routes. He's elusive. Can get away from. He's still quick, even though he's had those Achilles issues." That is at least something where it's like, "Hey, I need to check up and see how this goes the rest of the camp."
Well, look, I think there's a couple of things, Ron. I think if we do get Damian Pierce of 2022, I think you've got two very similar backs in terms of being able to run downhill between the tackles. I think you got guys that can have the speed to balance it. You got, and I know there are two. I'm not trying to say Damian Pierce is Joe Mixon by any means, but you got two similar backs stylistically, right? And so to be able to throw a guy in there potentially like Cam Akers, who is a little bit more shifty. As D'Amico Ryan said, slippery, just guys can't get solid hits on him. To have that guy, if he continues down this path, to have that guy in that room as the third back and have Dari Ogunbowale as the fourth back, some kind of mix. You got a strong, strong running back room. I think that you got a group that's really complementary. I think number two, you have a group that should allow you to navigate what this team expects to play 20 to 21 games. You're going to need more than one back to do that. If Cam Akers can come along and contribute in any way, shape, or form, now all of a sudden you've got some guys that can help you get through 18, 19, 20, 21 games. So that's that from a team perspective. I think if you look at it from Cam Akers' perspective, the fact that he's able to go out there after two left Achilles tears, for him to be able to go out there and play free, catch a touchdown, make a couple of runs, make guys miss, get physical down near the goal line one time, it's got to be freeing for him to say, hey, I'm back. Now let me take a deep breath and go play football instead of worrying about this Achilles that's ruptured on me two different times. So last night, I had to get talked into this now because I didn't want to oversell the Cam Akers thing.
I thought it was a camp body. That's what I thought.
I thought it was a future play. I thought it was one of those of like, let's give this, be patient, see if this thing heals, see if he can even play, and then if one day he's back to his old self, it'll be a good find for us. I didn't think in any way, shape, or form that we'd be talking about him potentially helping this team this year.
Yeah, I just, like, for me, as I said, third, like, they don't really have that. All right, third down that you know, could run and go out and pass routes as well as, you know, somebody like that. I don't think they had that element on this team, and that is a space where he could kind of jump in, where I don't think Damian Pierce has that. So we'll see what happens there. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access. I've seen Mark Vandermeer. I've seen John Harris. They are here, and they will be taking over as soon as we are done. As usual, they're here live here at Jersey, so the party does not stop. It will continue right here live, and we're live and local till 11 o'clock as Area 45 will follow Texans All Access. Sean Bajani and Patrick Creighton, they've got you live and local till 11 o'clock. A little post-game action as the Astros have this big night. Tonight is Kikuchi night.
It's
UC Kikuchi night, and
it's UC.
What I say, UC?
See, you trying to see something? It's UC. Right. You changed his name.
Sorry.
You trying to I see a little Kikuchi?
Crept in a little bit. It's, you know, that's that. That's that.
You can't see it. You can only say it.
That's that daiquiri. Oh, I can't. Well, yeah, you're right. UC Kikuchi. Big night for him. They'll be talking about his start. Hopefully. A positive start tonight for the Astros as they will take on the Rays and get this series started. We've had a lot of fun here. The crowd has been great, and they will continue to have fun. I see Andre Johnson shirts being given away outside. I see a lot of prizes. The Traveling Texans really showed up. Thanks to all of our staff here, Parker Hillis, our program director, who's been running around. Shout out to our guy, our engineer Aaron Rayburn, who has
Ray
been.
Bold.
What I call him, Burn?
You call him Rayburn. That's a lake.
Rayburn. Yes,
Sam Rayburn.
Aaron Raybold, who has been running around here doing his thing, getting a set up here. Figgy, who has done a ton, getting a lot of work and content inside and outside. And Tyler, doing a great job holding it down back at the station as usual. Clint, great job as well. Aaron has done a great job as well. Clap it up for Aaron, guys.
Will you put your pom-poms down and get us out of here?
I'm thirsty, man. She leaned over like you didn't say my name.
I mean, well, hell,
how about Aaron's mother as well? This guy here who's been sitting here with his son with them nice Beats by Dre. There you go. Shout out to everybody who has made today special. Clint, I am Ron Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
Somebody was going to do it to him sooner or later, so nobody really cared. The funniest thing was me and Vontae Leach, we went to the Rockets game that night. I walked in, they gave me a standing ovation.
Fans getting into this one, Bill. Well, they are. because the big board just put up Andre Johnson.
It was nuts when they put his pitch up. Not only did the Texans win today, great win, but Andre even won. They won the battle and the war.
I don't know how that fine got paid.
Have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.
We're on the road to Canton. Getting you set for Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame induction. Live from Jersey Sports Grill, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we are here live at Jersey's. And it has been, as we said earlier, a great time as people are celebrating Andre Johnson, who is going in to the Hall of Fame. Going in tomorrow, Andre Johnson, who will be the first Texans player to go into the Hall of Fame. And there are a lot of moments and a lot of memories. And if you missed in the 4 o'clock hour, Clint went through several of them. Some of his great plays, some of his great touchdowns, some of his great moments. But Tyler, I know you've watched his whole career. Clint, you have. Many people here, if you think, is the Courtland Finnegan fight, is that the number one thing that Andre Johnson is known for? Hall of Famer?
The individual moment? Yeah.
Gotta be, yeah.
I mean, the only thing that would trump that would be like, had there been a Super Bowl, you know, catch or something like that, I would think.
Or like the Jacksonville game he talked about, which was not, but yeah, the number one thing, boy, you think about Andre Johnson, yeah, that time he beat the hell out of that. Like, I don't think, some people don't even know who he is. That time he beat the hell out of that dude. That's what it is. And he, I mean, and he talks about it. He answers the questions. He sat down, what's his name? Chandler Johnson. Chandler Johnson. He sat down with him and he gave his own thoughts and words about that moment that he is most remembered for. Here is Andre Johnson talking about his moment with Courtland Finnegan.
What's something that people don't know about what happened leading up to one of the most iconic moments, not just in your career, but we're talking about in the history of the game?
People think that's just something that just happened out of the blue. That had been going on for probably about like 3 or 4 years. He had been asking for it though, because even his teammates knew. You know, his teammate even admitted in that, you know, that he karate chopped me under the pile, you know, tried to hit me in my throat one time. So it was a little stuff he did. He did it to, it wasn't just me. It was other guys that he played against that he did stuff too. So I just wasn't a person who tolerated it.
Most people know you as being kind of a chill guy. When you get back to the locker room with your teammates, and you won the game, what was it? Do you remember that conversation or what your guys were saying to you at the time?
Nobody really said much about it because they knew he was an asshole. So that's the crazy thing. Like, after the game, nobody really even, I mean, they knew somebody was going to do it to him sooner or later. So nobody really cared. The funniest thing was me and Vontae Leach, we went to the Rockets game that night.
Same night.
And I walked in and they gave me a standing ovation.
Fans getting into this one, Bill. Well, they are, because the big board just put up Andre Johnson.
It was nuts when they put his pitch up. Not only did the Texans win today, great win, but Andre even won won the battle and the war.
That was the funny thing. So I'll probably say they enjoyed it more than anything. But as far as the teammates, like, we didn't, it was what it was.
So I was told that, I had heard that other receivers paid your fine. Is there any truth to that? That this was a league-wide thing and others donated to?
I don't know how that fine got paid. That's all I say.
Andre, I ain't gonna lie to you, I'm kind of surprised that he would just go in and go into depth with that situation, especially how long ago it was. But like, he don't ever seem to have no problem talking about that thing.
Hey, good job, Chancellor Johnson. I mean, that's big time right there. I'm sure that he had talked about it before, but in depth like that of why, because there was a bunch of dirty plays where he was punching him under the pile, karate chopping him under the pile, hitting him in the throat under the pile, and the whole league knew about how dirty he was, and they knew somebody was going to do it at some point in time, and Dre just wasn't the guy to put up with it.
He said, I wouldn't tolerate
it. That's classic, man. You talk about pulling back the curtain now. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it was something else. Come on, man. Look at him, dude. Look at him.
That was like, what's the pup's name? What's the pup's name?
Bear.
That's like when you tell Bear, shit. And then you got to throw that bone over. Don't go nowhere, Bear. And he go, get it. And Bear takes off.
I got to give it to you. Y'all showing out here, Larry. Y'all done came in and took over this place. Y'all showing out for Andre. And if it's anything like it's out here today,
yeah.
I mean, hell, they got blowhorns. They got if it's anything like it's out here today, this is going to be this is going to be a crazy weekend tomorrow as he goes into the hall. Larry and Stafford here joins us, man. What's this weekend been like so far as Andre goes in the hall?
So we've been waiting on this a long time, man, and to see all these people out here with smiles on their faces, everybody feeling good about what we're witnessing and experiencing up here in Canton, you can't ask for nothing better, man. I'm going to tell you something, man. Your boy been going hard nonstop since when? And I tell you that everybody out here ain't doing nothing but showing love. And the thing about it, man, is that Texas fans have been wanting this for a long time because we saw the kind of work Dre did throughout the time he was a Houston Texans. And we understand how he went about his business, man, and just supporting the city, playing football at a high level. And so to come out and support him, man, to see you boys out here doing your thing, and I got this crown and this cup, I can't ask for nothing no better. And, you know, I've been listening to y'all all day. Y'all see the people in here, man. Everybody feeling good. That's what it's about. Because when you got a squad that you could believe in and that's really getting ready to set you up to go on a magical run, this is where it all starts, the beginning. That preseason game last night, the rain and everything else still doesn't spoil the fact that our boys was in this Hall of Fame game, and now the season is about to start. What I'm going to tell you is this, what y'all been talking about, that Xavier Hutchinson, hey, man, whatever they allowed this young man to do, I'm telling you, between him and Metchie, it's going to be a dogfight in that locker room in the wide receiver room, because that dude was catching stuff, man, and making routes runs and all this other stuff look easy. And I like the fact that nobody, you mentioned this show, Clint, you mentioned it.
Ron.
That Kenyon Green, come on, dog. Everybody pulling for this dude because we understand if him and Juice play the game at a high level with Tunsil and your boy Titus Howard on the end, CJ gonna sleep like a baby and he gonna kill some folks, man. So that's what it's about for me and the H, man. I'm trying to win prizes out there.
Well,
I'm
get on out there. Larry and Stafford, clap it up.
I'm trying to drink as heavy as I can, man. I appreciate it so in all holler.
Get out there. Good with you, surprises. No, listen, man, it's hell, he said dogfight. I don't think it's a dogfight right now. It ain't no dogfight because of play. I'll tell you that much. Not between those two, if it's that. Speaking of something I didn't think was a dogfight either, and I'm not saying it is, but another person that really stood out yesterday's game was Cam Akers. And Cam Akers got into the end zone. He was able to run the ball, and he was able to catch the ball in the backfield. Listen, I didn't think, and I still do. I don't think that Damian Pierce has to worry anything about Cam Akers, but yesterday's performance, Cam Akers brings an element that I'm not sure that Damian Pierce brings, and if it's an element of we want to give Joe Mixon, you know, snaps off on third down or have a third down back. That is, you know, was kind of a scat back, kind of more like Motor was last year for the Texans. Cam Akers probably fits that role a little bit better. And I didn't really take him serious until yesterday. You're saying, he can come in, he can run routes, he's elusive, can get away from. He's still quick, even though he's had those Achilles issues. That is at least something where it's like, hey, I need to check up and see how this goes the rest of the camp.
Well, look, I think there's a couple of things, Ron. I think if we do get Damian Pierce of 2022, I think you've got two very similar backs in terms of being able to run downhill between the tackles. I think you got guys that can have the speed to bounce it. You got And I know they're two. I'm not trying to say Damian Pierce is Joe Mixon by any means, but you got two similar backs stylistically, right? And so to be able to throw a guy in there potentially like Cam Akers, who is a little bit more shifty, as D'Amico Ryan said, slippery, just guys can't get solid hits on him. To have that guy, if he continues down this path, to have that guy in that room as the third back and have Dari Ogunbowale as the fourth back, some kind of mix, you got a strong, strong running back room. I think that you got a group that's really complementary. I think number two, you have a group that should allow you to navigate what this team expects to play 20 to 21 games. You're going to need more than one back to do that. If Cam Akers can come along and contribute in any way, shape, or form, now all of a sudden you've got some guys that can help you get through 18, 19, 20, 21 games. So that's that from a team perspective. I think if you look at it from Cam Akers' perspective, the fact that he's able to go out there after two left Achilles tears, for him to be able to go out there and play free, catch a touchdown, make a couple of runs, make guys miss, get physical down near the goal line one time. It's got to be freeing for him to say, hey, I'm back. Now let me take a deep breath and go play football instead of worrying about this Achilles that's ruptured on me two different times. So last night, I had to get talked into this now because I didn't want to oversell the Cam Akers thing.
I thought it was a camp body. That's what I thought.
I thought it was a future play. I thought it was one of those of like, let's give this, be patient, see if this thing heals, see if he can even play, and then if one day he's back to his old self, it'll be a good find for us. I didn't think in any way, shape, or form that we'd be talking about him potentially helping this team this year.
Yeah, I just, like, for me, as I said, third, like, they don't really have that. All right, third down that you know, could run and go out and pass routes as well as, you know, somebody like that. I don't think they had that element on this team, and that is a space where he could kind of jump in, where I don't think Damian Pierce has that. So we'll see what happens there. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access. I've seen Mark Vandermeer. I've seen John Harris. They are here, and they will be taking over as soon as we are done. As usual, they're here live here at Jersey, so the party does not stop. It will continue right here live, and we're live and local till 11 o'clock as Area 45 will follow Texans All Access, Sean Bajani and Patrick Creighton. They've got you live and local till 11 o'clock. A little post-game action as the Astros have this big night. Tonight is Kikuchi night. Tonight
new
is...
New Kikuchi night.
Tonight
new.
Is... Is
it said new new?
Is UC Kikuchi night and
it's and, you say?
What I say? UC?
See, you trying to see something? It's you,
right.
Say, you, tra-
say,
you changing
you say,
his name?
Sorry,
been
I'm
on
sorry.
Me.
You see? You say?
You trying to
I
see a look at Kikuchi?
Crept in a little bit. It's, you know that's that. That's that.
You can't see that, it. You can only say it.
That's that daiquiri. Oh, I can't. Well, yeah, you're right. You say?
that was true in several ways. What?
You say Kikuchi? Big night for him. They'll be talking about his start. Hopefully. A positive start tonight for the Astros as they will take on the Rays and get this series started. We've had a lot of fun here. A lot of fun here. The crowd has been great, and they will continue to have fun. I see Andre Johnson shirts being given away outside. I see a lot of prizes. The Traveling Texans really showed up. Thanks to all of our staff here, Parker Hillis, our program director, who's been running around. Shout out to our guy, our engineer Aaron Rayburn, who has been. What I call him? Burn?
You call him Rayburn? That's a lake.
Rayburn, yes,
Sam Rayburn.
Aaron Raybold, who has been running around here doing his thing, getting a set up here. Figgy, who has done a ton, getting a lot of work and content inside and outside. And Tyler, doing a great job holding it down back at the station as usual. Clint, great job as well. Aaron has done a great job as well. Clap it up for Aaron,
I mean,
guys.
Will you put your pom-pom down and get us out of here?
I'm trying to. She leaned over like you didn't say my name.
I mean, well, hell,
how about Aaron's mother
as
well? This guy here who's been sitting here with his son with them nice Beats by Dre. There you go. Shout out to everybody who has made today special. Clint, I am Ron Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
Somebody was going to do it to him sooner or later, so nobody really cared. The funniest thing was me and Vontae Leach, we went to the Rockets game that night. I walked in, they gave me a standing ovation.
Fans getting into this one, Bill. Well, they are, because the big board just put up Andre Johnson.
It was nuts when they put his pitch out. Not only did the Texans win today, great win, but Andre even won. They won the battle and the war.
I don't know how that fine got paid.
Have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.